What's doing, boys?
Hello, chaps. Hello, Brownie.
Yeah, g'day, boys. How are we all?
Oh, not too bad, mate. It's been about 6 days since we were bundled out of the semi-finals, the prelims, by the might of the Panthers. And I tell you what, they taught us a lesson in that second half, boys.
Yeah, look, it was a disappointing result. But overall, I think it was a pass mark for the year. What are your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, more than a pass mark, never.
Yeah, well, we finished seventh and we made it to the prelim final. So, Jason Demetriou did well in his first season to guide the boys there. What he did talk about during the year when we spoke to him was winning the moments. And there was a couple of moments just before half time when we were up 12-0 that I think let us down. And going in at 12-all didn't look good, and they came out and just put another 20 on us, I think.
Look, we took the long road there. You want to try and make the grand final from outside the top four. History shows it's not easy. Not too many sides have done it. I think 2019 we've done something pretty similar. I think we finished sixth that year, come from outside the top four, and we met the Panthers again on that occasion. So it's certainly a road you don't want to take.
Mm. Maybe you spoke about moments, and we were good for 37 minutes of that first half. I mean, we were better than good. We were on top, and they had nothing, the Panthers. And it was only them a couple of minutes just before halftime, and the old cliche, you know, you've got to play for 80 minutes or 40 minutes each half. And unfortunately, we came up short 3 minutes, and that was the game. Once we went in at 12-all, the game was gone.
Well, I think the Eels can watch that first 37 minutes and maybe gain something from that.
They've
beaten them twice this year. One of those times was when Cleary was sent off, I think. So, you know, he's a fair player. But I think that will go a long way if they play like that to beating this mob. We're going to talk about that a bit later. We're going to do a little grand final preview.
We just did it, didn't we?
We're going to
that's enough.
That'll
Oh, the grand final. Sorry, I thought you meant the semi-final.
We're going to talk about the Dally M team that was named. We're going to have a little look at the Koori knockout. And then the World Cup, we're going to have a look at that too. So stand by for that. But the Bunnies are out. But one team that isn't out is Darryl Lee, because they make it better. And you've got your raspberry twists and your Batch 37 licorice. And they're going to come back with us in 2023 because our partnership is solid and we love their work and we love their product, which you can get at Coles, Woolies, IGA, and also at the movies at Hoyts.
Yep, there's a few players unsigned for next year, but Darryl Lee is certainly signed up here on Rabbitohs Bunnies TV.
Yep, and all our other sponsors too. We've spoken to them all. The Juniors Gripper Clubs, NG Farrow Real Estate, George's Cameras, and Bunnaby Water. They'll all be returning. Water with a purpose. We've got a nice cold one here to wet the whistle. You get a bit...
Just before we go any further, and they're all valued sponsors who have been with us for since the start, except for Darryl Lee. But to all you viewers out there, make sure you hit the subscribe button, the like button, and leave a comment. It helps us immensely going up the charts, and we need for you to do that. Make sure you do that for us.
And just in another quick bit of news, JJ, the superstar youngster who loves the Rabbitohs, he's always at the games with his grandfather, Gus. We shared a couple of pieces of content. One of them was him kicking the soccer ball at a target on the post. That went viral overnight.
Doesn't he hit sweet?
Oh, doesn't he?
I mean, he sort of, his target was off a little bit there at one stage, but when he certainly nailed a couple
of... You know who he reminds you of?
Real sweet.
How sweet he hits the ball? Latrell Mitchell, when he kicks the goals.
Yeah.
He just hits them sweet. It's like a little wedge shot, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hits them sweet. Great contact.
It's like it was meant to be. Yeah, no, well done, JJ. Thanks for that.
So there was two pieces of content. The soccer ball one and another one where he kicked the ball from right at the side and it went over, hit the crossbar and went over. So we love your work, JJ. And if you've got some content you want us to share on our channel, we're happy to do it because we like to do our own, produce our own content, but we like to share yours as well. So send them in and we'll share them across our network. Thanks again. All right, so we'll move on from the prelim. We don't want to dwell on that.
Oh, this look.
You got something else, chaps?
Look, we started, you probably heard, if you listen to the coaches' press conferences at the end or when we talk to the coaches leading into games, they talk about front-loading energy, and that's exactly what South Sydney did, front-loaded all the energy in that first half. We should have went to half-time with a 12 or 18-point lead. We were that dominant of the opposition. We had that one error. Latrell passed it right out in front of Junior Totola. He had to go up and get it. He dropped it. They went down the other end of the field off the kick our play the ball, and little Appy Coruscant pulled us apart.
How quick was it? Just go back to that.
How quick was the play?
I thought he dropped it.
Keon hit him. He hit the deck. He stood up and played the ball, and our blokes hadn't even got off the ground.
That was the fastest play of the ball I've ever seen.
I don't even know if that was legal, that thing, but anyway.
What about they reckon that Cookie might be getting brushed for Australia, the Kangaroos? Appy might be getting brushed. They're going to take Harry Grant.
And Ben Hunt.
And they're going to have Ben Hunt as the backup. So, look, hard to argue with that, the way Harry Grant played this year. He's some sort of football.
Ben Hunt had a hell of a season.
So did Ben Hunt, yeah. Right.
But he played in the halves mainly at the Dragons, but a little bit of the hooker experience.
Yeah.
Look, that's no luck for Cookie. I think he deserved it. I thought he laid on the first try with the ball right out in front of Nico. Nico busted through the line, passed it back, and I think it was Liam Martin.
Yeah,
tapped the ball back off his own goal line, and Johnny on the spot, where he was all year, was Cody Walker. Mm. Look, to go to the Sheds at 12 all, your head would have been down, Brownie.
Oh, exactly.
Going into the Sheds. You know how much hard work you've done and how short we were with what Alex Johnson was a big loss.
Yeah.
Look at the three seasons he's had. That'll never be done in rugby league ever again. 83 tries in 69 games. What a phenomenal three seasons this bloke's had.
Yeah, look, it was certainly a big out. And in saying that, Richie Kenner, I thought, did a great job.
He did.
He came on as a replacement, scored a try, and had some tough carries as well. And I thought he played really well. But, yeah, look, AJ's presence, obviously we missed him there. And
Thomas Sevilla-Havili.
Yeah, they were big losses. We've been talking about it all year that we've had the best bench in the NRL throughout the year.
Yep.
And within 2 weeks, we lose two of them bench players who give us punch and give us energy off the bench. And it's something that we missed immensely in that game. And to, like you just said, chaps, to go in at 12-all, our confidence were down. Our backs were broken, basically. And, I thought the game was gone at halftime.
Yeah, well, they even said it when we were walking off. Someone said, Souths will have to come back. It was 12-all. Anyway,
they scored straight after halftime, just about, didn't they? So, well, it didn't.
Well, they did.
Didn't make it any easier with, I think it was a kick through from Cleary, and Latrell tackled him and everything. He was going to go in the bin for 10 had he not score anyway. It was
just on that first try after half time, the referee gave a penalty in the first set on the fourth tackle, which marched him down. What was that for?
We were going well defensively in that first set.
Yeah.
I couldn't work it out. You were at the grand, Brent.
I know.
What was it for?
I couldn't see. That's what I was wondering.
He turned to his son, Jade, and Jade didn't know what it was for.
Yeah.
And then I think there's a bit at the end of the game where They were making a half break. It was Spencer Leno was pouring down the field, and they all come in, converged on him, and Tony Milne, it looked like an accident, but he had the closed fist, hit him straight across the forehead. It wasn't a good look, boys. I had no doubt it was going to be a send-off. I think the referee got it right.
Yeah, look, to be honest, it probably wasn't intentional.
It wasn't.
Reckless. It did get him, came into contact in the head, and obviously probably deserved a send-off, and look, he's got 6 weeks for it.
It's just a frustrated swing, I think.
Yeah.
At that stage, it was very disappointing for the whole team, and I think he just let a bit of frustration get the better of him. One bloke we haven't mentioned who deserves mention is Campbell Graham. He went out there, and I think he still had a cracked rib, and he just did his best all night. He was getting battered by the big fella on the edge there.
Kick out just said it. He had a mission to just bash poor old Campbell or Graham all day, so not all Graham. But he just kept getting up and kept getting
all
up.
All Graham all day.
all day Graham, and that's what he was. And Cam Murray never stopped the whole final series. He hardly missed a minute the whole final series.
Unbelievable.
Jai Arrow was injured, and he kept turning up. I mean, we could go through the whole squad. They all put the effort in, didn't they? Latrell had a fantastic final series. Wasn't his best game in the prelim. But by all reports, post-game, he had an injury and had a needle up at half-time.
Yeah, well,
that doesn't help, does it?
Apparently, like we just spoke about, there were three players that had to get needled up. I think Jai was one of them, Campbell and Latrell, who all took injuries into the game. And look, they were fully fit. They were fresh. Mm. They were rested. They'd played two games in about 8 weeks. So they've come in all guns blazing. And to be honest, like that thirst. You know, going into the break at 12-all just broke our hearts.
Stretch's rib certainly got a test out from kick out anyway. So
I certainly did, but it just shows you he is one of the toughest players in the game, Campbell Graham. Mm. When he's in our side, we're always a better team. And when he doesn't play, we sort of struggle out in those edges. So
well, we're going to talk
about hopefully he's fully fit. But do we want to go on a little bit more about the Panthers? I think we will in the grand final preview.
Well, let's just go to the preview, chaps. Let's just have a quick chat about that, and then because we're going to talk about the Australian team and who could be in contention, and I'm putting Campbell Graham's name at the front of the list. He probably deserves to be there as one of the centres.
Yeah.
But we heard some news that Scotland didn't pick him, and is there something in that? Because why wouldn't Scotland pick him? Surely?
Well, I just can't. The whole final series, each team has been knocked out within 12 or 15 hours of them being knocked out. They name them in Australian squads or you know, different squads. Not one South player has been named in that Australian squad, which is strange. We are now 6 days post-prelim. Mm. I mean, the Cowboys had players named. Jeremiah Nanai had been named on the Saturday at midday. Are they on annual leave? Or what's the story? Well, like, we can't get annual leave at the Wolves. These blokes are getting it left, right and centre.
Well, just you'd like to think that Cameron Murray's a certainty. Latrell Mitchell is a certainty.
Why haven't they been named?
Yeah.
And question marks are obviously, well, like we just spoke about, Damien Cook, Campbell Graham, who maybe the reason why he wasn't named in the Scotland team is because he's been, you know, he's going to be named in the Australian team. But like you said, chaps, how come our players haven't been named?
Well, it's outrageous. If the Kangaroos hierarchy, including Mal Meninga, is watching this, you cannot name Jeremiah Nanai and not name Cameron Murray.
Well, and I think Darren Lockyer might be a selector. It might be a Queensland thing.
Could be a Queensland conspiracy.
That one.
Jeez, what's Joe Arrow done wrong?
he's got to be there as well.
I don't think he's will be right because of his groin in that game. So I think
it's probably not that far away, is it? But I mean, a guy like Dylan Edwards, if you want to talk about blokes, a bolt or a kangaroo bolters, he has got to come into calculations.
Mm. Well, they've already spoken
he
about him.
He was unbelievable in that game.
He was unbelievable, but I think they've already spoken about it. They've got Teddy. Obviously, he's the incumbent. He's not going anywhere. Yeah. And if they take Latrell as a backup fullback, then there's no room for Dylan Edwards. But, I mean, he's probably one of the best players in the competition, so maybe you have to find a spot for him.
Well, I'm sure they'll take Latrell as a centre, but like you said, you can probably back him up. But Dylan Edwards,
and
not only...
See, Munster can play fullback.
Well, that's
maybe,
right. So Dylan Edwards wasn't only good last week. He's been good for the last couple of years, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He's been outstanding for that Penrith.
He's got the highest win percentage nearly of all time of fullbacks. Of all time in the game.
They haven't been in three grand finals because he's not a good player.
Yeah. He's over 90% win percentage when he takes the field, the Panthers. So, I mean, he's a guy that... if there's an injury, I suppose, going forward in the next year or two, he's got to come into calculation for the State of Origin side or the Kangaroos. Mm. Those one-off tests that we do play. Look, well done to the Parramatta Eels. Went up to Townsville. It wasn't easy. Going up, the humidity up there was pretty ordinary from what I'm told. There was cramps all over the joint. You've seen the what's the juice they drink there, Granny?
Oh, I don't know. What is it? You got me on that one.
The pickle juice. Oh, the pickle juice. Anyway, a lot of that going around on the field. They've come from 8 points down and had a good win. And who says they can't win the grand final against the might of the Penrith Panthers? If Penrith is slightly off, who knows?
Well, they've did it twice this year, haven't they? They've beat them twice this year, and they were dominant in both games that they won.
Yep.
Obviously, the second game when they won, they clearly got sent off, but I think Penrith,
they were on top
anyway. So, they're in the fight, let me tell you.
The style of footy they play, Mavo, they're a big side. If they can get that second phase offload play going with it, then they start to play sideline to sideline.
They play expansive.
It can gas you out. And they've got some big units out on those edges. You've got Mitchell Moses, who's in pretty good form, Mitchell Moses.
Yeah. Well, for them to play expansive and their offload, they need a dry track, chaps. And at the moment, it's raining here in Sydney. And I don't know what the weather forecast is for Sunday, but definitely need a dry track.
It's a bit Sunday, but it's going to be nearly two days, 3 days of rain coming into it. So.
Well, I think Dylan Mitchell Moses is the key, obviously, and then you know the halves as well. But bringing Brownie back off the bench, your long lost cousin, former Rabbitoh. That gives him a bit of starch instead of just having.
I've had people ask me if he's my son. So
there's a few Browns out there.
I might claim him this week.
So, and what about South Junior will have a big factor in this. Don't worry about
Sean Lane.
Sean Lane has been nearly the form back rower of the whole entire final series.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, you were talking about
the confidence up.
You were talking about bolters for the Kangaroo Tour or the World Cup Tour. It used to be the Kangaroo
Big
Tour, but you mentioned Dylan Edwards, but here's another bolter, Sean Lane.
Yeah, yep. I've got a bit of a soft spot for the Eels. I mean, I don't support them in any way, but I feel a bit sorry for them. They've waited since 1986. I've got a few mates that are Eels supporters, Maury and Gerald Simons is a former Parramatta supporter, and my Mrs. Cousin Cindy, she's an Eels tragic. So I said to her, look, if we don't win it, I'm happy for the Eels to do it.
We work with Brownie's brother and Simon Elliott, so there's a number of head. Simon auntie. McKinnon, there's a lot of Parramatta supporters at DP World.
Auntie, who was she loved Parramatta too. She died this year, so do it for Auntie Pat.
Yeah. And obviously the Hayne train. Sorry to hear that, mate. The Hayne train in 2009, we're good mates of him, and that they should have won it that year, wasn't it?
They come from outside the oak, didn't they, that year? You know, they're on a bit of a rip and a tear. But look, I mean, if the Panthers play at 80%, I don't see them getting beat. The style of football that they're playing at the moment, all by the puppet master, Nathan Cleary. Like, we did a good job on him up until about the 35th minute, and someone didn't just put that gun-ho pressure on him, and he just released this, kicked it. Poor old Tone Mildad.
And that was the only time we didn't put pressure on him.
That's the only time, and he nailed the kick.
He nailed it. And
you don't see that very often.
That's what, you know, it just comes down to these little one percenters, and if you're not on your game for the whole 40 minutes, and that's what happened. And
Appy was in good form too. Like, I know they started with Mitch Kenny. Maybe he's better in the bigger, heavier stuff at the start of the game, more of a defensive hooker. But when he came on, they never looked like losing. Like, they started to get into a groove.
Yeah.
I mean, across the whole park, their bench comes on, and that Linu come on and was good again. They're going to be hard to beat, obviously.
He's fired up, Linu.
Yeah, so
Well, I've got a strong connection with Penrith, obviously. Played for the club for 4 years.
Captain them, too.
Yeah, but, I'll be probably supporting them. And like you boys just said, they've been the benchmark for the last 3 years. But I won't be disappointed if Parramatta win either, because they are the underdogs. Like you said, Mavo, they've waited 36 years to win another premiership. They've only won four since they were included into the competition in 1947. So if Parramatta win, I'll be happy. If Penrith win, credit to them.
The amount of work that goes
into being so good like they are, it just doesn't happen naturally.
Well, no one's ever done this before. They won the SG Ball, which was the 19th this year. They won the 21s. That's the flag. They won the New South Wales Cup, and they're a big chance of going winning four competitions in one season.
Yeah.
Yep. Never been done in the history of the game.
And it's big because it's a battle.
So if you think they're going away this year because they're losing Kikau and Appy, they'll just roll another four or five players out.
Yeah.
This system, this pathway system they've got is flawless out there at the moment.
And it's big because it's a battle of the West. They've never met in a grand final. So I hope it's a good game.
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
And like I said, it'd be good to see the Eels knock them off.
Rugby league heartland out there, you know. They've produced a lot of players over the last 15
years. All the NRL teams for the last 3 years, this has been the hardest assignment, playing the Penrith Panthers, isn't it?
Yeah.
They haven't been beat much. I don't know how many times they got beat.
They've only lost 10 games or something in 3 years.
In 3 years. Well, there you go.
All right. So
they're talking about dynasties. Look, it might be a little early for it yet. They've only won one comp, but... Look, a dynasty is when you start to win 4 out of 5 years.
Is it dynasty or dynasty?
That's what I was going to say.
Ming dynasty?
Dynasty, but yeah. The Grey.
The dynasty league, mate. The Yanks called dynasty.
That was a good show, wasn't it? Dynasty back in the day, dynasty. But let's move into this Dally M team that was announced the other night. I watched it on telly and everyone was done up well. The South boys looked good and the missuses all scrubbed up good. But only AJ made it as the winger, and it's a good team. So perhaps we, other than Cameron Murray... Maybe Junior in the front row, Campbell in the centres. Brandy was outraged by the coach not getting a nomination.
Well, I was, and I just wanted to ask the question, how come Trent Robinson was nominated before our coach, JD?
Trent Robinson had three people in the Daily M of the Team of the Year, yeah. and he couldn't even make the second week of the finals.
Yeah.
How do you get nominated a Coach of the Year?
Yeah,
they had an absolute star-studded team,
100%,
and they played disgraceful most of the season.
And we knocked him out of the finals, and our coach was a rookie coach.
Yeah, this bloke's been coach for 10 years.
Didn't even get nominated. I was happy with Todd Payton getting Coach of the Year. That's not a problem.
Oh, no, he did a fantastic job.
He deserved it.
For JNE not to be nominated from where what he took over from, like some of the blokes that left, your Sewers, your Gay Guys, your Wayne Bennett, Adam Reynolds, for him to be able to pull it all together, some of the injuries we've had in the outside backs.
How many kids debuted this year under JD?
Well, we had five or six wingers play this year, you know?
How much inexperienced we were in terms of our players. Mm. Some kids only played 3-4 first grade games and then played all year.
No one ever heard of Isaac Tuss. He ended up in a prelim final.
Tane Milne was a journeyman. Come out and played 17, 18 games.
Played a really key role in this side. Look, a bloke like Hame Sello has promised for a few years, a former Australian schoolboy. I think we're starting to see the best of him. He'll be huge next year for us.
Mm. I'm dumbfounded. Sorry.
Junior Tatala could have been there instead of Payne Huss.
100%.
Anyway, now...
Junior was outstanding.
In other news, it's the 50th Koori Knockout down at Nowra. Starting tomorrow, I'm heading down there to watch my daughter Demi's boyfriend Dylan line up for the Burke Warriors. They take on Maitland United at 11:10 in the morning on Field 2. If you're going to go and have a watch. And in breaking news, this bloke's going to line up for the Burke Warriors, the Fox.
Oh,
so there you go.
Josh had O'Carroll. I might tell Dylan just to look for him for a little short ball through the middle.
Some of our boys will be there. I think Blake Taff, Isaiah Taff, both for La Perouse Panthers. I think Louis Grosmy is playing for the La Perouse Panthers as well.
Yeah.
So,
they all get down there. Well, once their season's finished and their commitments are finished with the NRL, if they're not playing, obviously, in the big dance, you'll find that a lot of players will go down there and play in this knockout. It's very prestigious.
Latrell, reckon he'll pop up?
Have you heard Trell Mitts playing? Oh, that'd be good. Well, I'm going to go down. We're not going to take the big camera, but I might try and...
I don't think Mal Meninga would be too happy if he sees the Fox playing. Or Latrell, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, but you got to, mate.
It's very prestigious.
Very unique, very... special event. You don't see anything like this anywhere in the world in Indigenous culture to go out and put on a tournament like this. The men and the women. The women are outstanding.
He might be happy that Trell Mitt gets a couple of games under his belt. I mean, there's 2 weeks till the World Cup. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But you know, keep a bit of footy under your belt. And also, before I forget, Gavin Badger, that is, he shared the referee's jersey. Now, he's not refereeing, but he had a bit to do with it. It's got the Koori logo on the arm, and then he put a tribute to Steve Bear Hall, who passed away. And I didn't know him personally, but apparently well-known in the New South Wales rugby league community. So that jersey looks really good. It's got the Koori pattern on it and that. So I'm really looking forward to it. I've never been to a Koori knockout, and I'm going to take some photos for the show and maybe shoot a few little clips of video. And
yeah, but you might pull the boots on.
I could. My missus is from Lapa, even though she's not Aboriginal, so maybe that'll qualify me.
I don't think the bumblebee will handle it.
The knee wouldn't handle it, but you know, you never know. If I could stand out on the wing and make a few tackles, I'm happy to do it.
Andrew the Pom Roberts, he took his boots down there.
Yeah.
His son's playing as well.
Yeah, nephew of the great Paulie Roberts. I don't think Cuz would be up for a game either, but he might go down and have a look.
No, and you get a lot of the retired players who haven't played in, you know, many seasons will get down there and have a run, won't they? They just love playing with, like you said, maybe their sons or their nephews, and they get amongst it. And
it's the best event.
Yeah,
it's a legendary.
It's a great day.
Brad Cook, I'm sure.
Great weekend.
Calling it.
And a shout out to Michelle Stewart, who's said she's going to be the first time she's watching the knockout without Gina.
Her mum.
So, and you know, they're related to Blake Taff, so I'm sure they'll be cheering young Taffy on.
But another tournament, boys, which is only weeks away, the World Cup, and the South Sydney Rabbitohs are going to be a lot of players involved,
heavily represented. So the tournament kicks off. England take on Samoa, and I'm not sure who we've got in there. We're going to check that. So when we do our first show, we're going to find out who's in what teams from the Rabbitohs.
We haven't really got the final squads yet. Some teams haven't even announced their squads. So, look, I mean, you've got to think they're going to have to be rounding their troops up pretty soon because it's on in, you know.
Well, I haven't finished yet.
16 days.
They take on Samoa, 2:30 England time on Saturday the 15th of October. So it's only a couple of weeks away. They play at St. James Park, Newcastle. Then later on that day, the Aussies take on the Fiji Butty, 7:30 at Headingley at Leeds. I think it might be about 4 o'clock our time in the morning if you're keen to get up and have a look. But if not, I'm sure replays will be on. So going to be some good games. But not only those games with the England and Australia, we've got Rabbitohs players spread through a lot of teams. So that's why we're going to do a show. And we're just going to keep it ticking over here at Rabbitohs Fan TV.
We've got a couple in the Greece team, the Lebanon.
Yep.
We'll get all them names and who they're playing for over the next 2 weeks.
Pete Mamazelis.
Lockie Elias is in the Greek team.
There you go.
I read today Josh Mansour is in the Lebanon team.
Mm, and we've got Joe O'Callaghan, who's assistant coach of the Irish team. So we might be able to touch base with him. And
they've just named Luke Keary, so I'm sure he'll be running the show down there.
Oh, there you
go. He's still a great player, Luke Keary. He'll be... and Josh Cook, former Rabbitoh, South Junior.
Yep.
And my mate... Dean Clark from Botany is in the Australian disability team. So we're going to try and get him on for a chat. Hopefully I can get hold of him before he goes and he can tell us a bit about that. But I'll definitely speak to him over there and get a few weather reports, tell me if he's seen any other games, a few players he's seen. But there's a few Rabbitohs in that team too, the Australian disability team.
I'll have to contact one of our original listeners there, Adam Ligo from Wandsworth, London. See if he's going to get up and watch some of those games up in the north.
Yeah, Andy Green, maybe he's our former teammate at the Trafford Borough.
Trafford Borough, yeah.
What were we, the Trafford Borough what?
I don't know, Trafford Borough, that was it.
No, we were something.
Were we?
Yeah.
Anyway, were we?
The chick,
Rovers, though. Trafford Borough Rovers.
Greeny, if you're watching this, let us know, mate. We're not going live today because we had a few issues with the live signal inside. So we're going to work on a lot of stuff. We're going to work on our production in the off-season as well. And
website.
The website.
We've got big plans for the website. Got a lot of people helping us.
Yep.
And we've got a little commentating gig coming up soon, me and Mavo, and then a couple of Wednesdays time on Facebook. It's a charity boxing night, War on the Wharves.
Yep.
It's been going for about 10 years.
Yep.
Hasn't been on for the last couple due to COVID, but looking forward to calling.
Yeah, I'm disappointed I can't make that.
Yeah, well, he's got big boxing ties, the Brown family. Let's not mention Darby Brown. But
Brown, my great uncle.
Boxing Hall of Fame.
Got some Australian big guests.
We can mention him.
Got some big guests we're going to interview there. Shannon Donato and Alicia.
And all money will be going towards the South Cares. So it is a charity event. And all
the
proceeds will be heading off there to the South Cares, who do a wonderful job for the South Cares Rabbitohs.
We'll try and put a link on our podcast listeners group.
We'll share a link
on Facebook.
Those nights have been some of the best nights ever because we see our mates up there fighting, and Jules Parry, never forget it, while he was ringside and he got knocked. He was going all right and he got knocked out.
He had sponsors on the bottom of his shoes.
Mick Gibson.
Gibbo.
He actually was led in by Reggie Rabbit.
Yeah. Reggie Rabbit was good. Now this...
Come into the ring for glory. It was fantastic, wasn't it?
Now this one, a few people that are going to be fighting are young Cameron Dimmick, who's Jimmy Dimmick's nephew. Yep. He's tough. So watch the live stream. We'll share it. And there's a couple of girls that are fighting. I think Maggie...
Aliotavia. Jimmy Dimmick was drinking with some of our players the other day.
Yeah, I said that. Clovelly Hotel.
Set the tongues wagging.
Yeah.
He could be an assistant coach.
Yeah, he might be.
Johnny Morris might be moving on. So,
there you go. So Maggie Aliotavia, I reckon if she goes... She's anywhere near as tough as a brother, then she'll
former Rabbitoh, former Rabbitoh, the brother. Yeah. Damien Aliotavia.
Look at who she's fighting. I think Marzi's fighting too.
Yeah, Mario Santos.
Mario Santos. So there's going to be some...
Taylor Declan Kluver,
there you go.
Fighting.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Tim.
No, both of them fight.
Oh,
Tim
both.
And Taylor.
Oh, both. Yeah. Okay.
So, Taylor Declan Cleveland's a former referee in the lower grade.
Yeah. Well, Tim was in the sauna today. He was stripping a bit of weight. And
he's a unit too, so it'd be good to see him.
He's a big boy, So there's some big names fighting.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll wrap it up.
Anyway.
Don't forget, Darryl Lee. There's something special on every bite.
So just to let all the viewers know, Mavo, that we will be continuing through the off-season. It is a World Cup year, so we'll be doing a lot of shows around the World Cup.
Yep.
Keeping you updated with all the South Sydney players, how they're going and how they're performing.
But not just that, Brownie. Like I said, we'll be producing short-form content like we did of young JJ. We've got some interviews coming up. I've still got the Darryl Lee tour we did where they hand-make the Rockley Road. So we're going to keep producing content because our YouTube channel, it's starting to emerge as a channel that people look to for entertainment. And we'll provide it.
And some big news coming up. We'll make some announcements later.
We might have a name change in the works. We'll explain it. We'll do a whole show on that. and get back to you. But you know,
I wasn't going to say anything. I was just going to keep him in suspense. But you break the news.
Well, we are the
bunnies. No good with secrets.
We are the bunnies here. So
yeah,
we'll catch you soon.
Stay tuned.